It's February 28th, 2017, and this is Inside Out, The Naked Truth, and we're coming to you live from the Santa Cruz wet mountains of California from Lupin Lodge, where clothing is optional, but the truth
is always naked.
I'm Errol Strider.
And I'm Rochelle Alicia Strider. And we welcome you to our home at Lupin Lodge. We invited you over tonight for some conversation about the human condition and all its eccentricities. And, of course, what to make of it. Sprinkled with laughter, good music, and the many interesting voices of Errol Strider.
Errol Strider. Those weren't the most interesting, actually, voices, but maybe we'll get some later tonight.
He's at it again.
Did I say who our show is sponsored by?
No, you didn't.
Well, we are so delighted that our show is being sponsored, first of all, by our good friend and fellow artist, Jeremy Bead, and by Go Raw, natural food that's delicious and nutritious.
And?
Here we go. Well, speaking of here we go, since the issue of facts, we're not so clear what they are these days. So we thought we would make, is that a fact, be our phrase of the week. Like, it's vital to know the facts. But is that a fact? Or facts are not as important as perception. Is that a fact? What we believe determines what we perceive. Is that a fact? Science deals with facts. Religion deals with beliefs. Is that a fact? And then, what are these alternative facts? And what is their relationship to the facts? First cousins? In-laws? Well, who's to say? But that was last week's phrase of the week. These are just a few of the perspectives, possible, perhaps, even facts, that we're going to scrutinize tonight. Anyway, we want you to be here so that we can convert your potential as an audience member into a fact, and so become a facthood, which is not like fact alternative, but facthoods. It replaced the brother sisterhood.
Have it again.
Okay. Anyway, we're going to treat you to a pretty goofy conversation already. One thing I can say is that Rochelle and I have spent the best part of our 40 years together doing our best to separate fact from friction.
I believe very strongly that we were given to each other to grow, to grow our souls, because that's one thing we totally agree on, that we're here to grow our souls. So whatever happens to us or between us or through us is an opportunity and therefore awesome.
But is it a fact?
Well, is that a fact? I always believed a fact was a proven event. Thought, you know, the emphasis being on proven. It happened. It was witnessed, recorded. Now, I've been being led to believe there are actual facts which I just attested to, and there are alternative facts. It seems like an oxymoron. It just doesn't compute. What's the alternative to it is? Maybe that's it. Maybe. But if it's maybe, then it isn't a fact. Of course not, because it's an alternative fact. And can it be made up to fit anything one wants or any time? That is a fact. Or, is that a fact?
Here's another perspective on facts. This is what Spinoza, the great philosopher, I started to say Jewish philosopher, but he kind of renounced all religion. He was someone who was, give me the facts, ma'am. Let's listen to this quote from him. This is what Spinoza had to say about the facts.
Does every fact in the world have a reason that explains why it's a fact? Is there always an explanation? Or does there exist some degree of just brute factuality at either a superficial level, what I happen to put on today, some trifling arbitrary factoid, or at a profound level, deep down in the bowels of the fundamental laws of nature. Is there, at any level at all, facts which are facts for no other reason than that they are facts?
I totally agree.
What do you agree?
That a fact is a fact is a fact.
By any other name.
It's a fact. Remember that program that was detective program?
Dragnet. Dragnet. The facts, ma'am.
Just give me the facts. And you know you can find out what the facts are when you take all the adjectives out. And you notice very often speakers who are in prominence, they use a lot of adjectives. Wonderful, you know, brilliant, greatest, marvelous, fantastic, you know. But just the facts. What are the facts? Facts, when you take all the adjectives away, that's what happened. And a fact isn't a fact until after a fact.
After the fact. I love that. You heard it
then
here,
it's
folks.
It's a real fact.
Yeah. Then it's a real fact. I really wonder about how we can live without these dependable facts. How do they allow themselves to get so twisted around and become something other than what they were when they began?
I don't think you can blame it on the facts. If you want to blame anybody, it's us who like to make facts our own. Our egos are so big that we want to take what happens and redo it to fit our perception of it. Then we don't have to worry about it because it all has to do with us. That's true.
That was one of the questions that I raised. You know, to what degree does our perception inform us as to what it perceives as fact? Like, do we remember the facts? I read once that we don't actually remember, for example, what someone did to us. What we remember is our reaction to what we perceive that they did to us. And that's what
that's
stays.
A fact.
I don't know if it's a fact.
Because it's been proven, it's been tested, and it's been witnessed and recorded. That's what makes it a fact. We all have that agreement. We saw it. I heard it. I experienced it. It's not perceived on a feeling perceptual level. It's perceived through all our senses. Facts belong to our material world.
That raises the question of to what degree can we look to the apparently not factual world, but a world that we orient ourselves toward, which we would call the metaphysical world or the transcendent dimension or the eternal immeasurable realities. They're not facts.
Just like you said, Spinoza, it's not a fact because it's not a fact. When it's a fact, it's a fact. And then you just have to constantly define fact. You can't question it because it happened. You can't question what happened. A fact is not a fact until it has passed.
And where does it pass?
In seconds, in time.
Is there like food passing through you and then it's passed? That's not necessarily a fact, but I would like to share this. This is a dialogue. I'm going to ask Professor Schnitzel to read this with me because it's two parts. There's two scientists talking to each other. You ready, Professor?
Oh, yeah, I never get to do this in the program. Okay, yeah, I see it there now. Oh, you want me? Yeah, would you start? Yeah, I'll start it.
Okay, here we go. This is called the electron dialogue.
The electron is the smallest particle in existence.
Oh, well, how do you know that?
Through experiment.
Well, can you see it?
No.
Then how do you know it?
Because we can take measurements that imply its existence and its size.
But you can't really see it.
Well, no.
Why?
Because it's too small.
Oh, it's too small to see, but you think it's there, huh?
That's right, yeah.
Well, I got news for you.
What?
There's something smaller.
No, there isn't.
Oh, yes, there is.
How do you know that?
Through measurement.
Ah, but can you measure it directly?
No.
Ah, then you can't be sure, can you?
Oh, pretty sure.
But not absolutely sure, not to where it becomes a fact.
Well, no, not an absolute, like, fact.
That it may not be the smallest thing in existence.
Well, it may not be, but that's unlikely.
Ah, where do we go from here?
Let's build a better microscope.
But what if we find something that's too small for our better microscope?
Then we'll just have to operate on faith.
Faith? That's preposterous. Faith in what?
Our measurements. Our facts.
But that's not faith. That's for certain.
Is it?
Yeah. All our measurements indicate that the electron is the smallest particle in existence.
Is that a fact?
Welcome to Science Wars. Chemistry, biophysics, math, and global. Which field is best? Understand the force and energy, quantum mechanics and relativity. My field is pure and they rely on me. I see the universe like nobody. You may have made fun of me in high school for being awkward and following the rules. Now I've got lasers.
Wow, that's really cool.
May the mass times acceleration be with you. Atoms, entropy, dark matter, string theory.
If you want to feel a bond, then I can give you a good reaction. The elements that make up life are my essence and my satisfaction. All the other fields out there are so basic, yeah, I'm the central science. Keep your eye on me, I'll get you charged. If you need me, call me up on Avogadro's number. If you leave me, take a Titan, shove it up your acid buffer. Dopamine and serotonin will keep you good and happy. Just get your plastic and nickel all set up and begin to understand the world.
Thank you, Professor. Oh, yeah.
And thank you, Acapella Parody, for Science Wars. That was fun.
I would like to say, as someone who has spent their life in science, that factual finding is some of the best thing that you can have. I like to have facts 3 times a day with my meals. I have facts at breakfast. These are facts about what I'm feeling at the moment. Then there are pretend facts that try to come in. These are projections about what I think the day is going to be like. They are pretend facts. And then I have lunch. With lunch, I have alternative facts. These are stories I make in my head to try and prove to myself that I was right when I was wrong. So I change the facts in order to twist it that way. Then, of course, at dinner time, I have fact hoods. Ah, Rochelle, you have fact hoods at dinner time with me. We have them together, and I would enjoy hearing your fact hood story.
I see you took off on that piece. I didn't know where it ended. Where did the piece end?
Is that a fact?
You started to improvise. It wasn't written in the book.
No, it ends on, is that a fact? Where they say that we're going to have to operate on faith. Okay. And then the guy says, faith in what? Thank you, Professor. Our measurements are facts. And he goes, is that a fact? In other words, at a certain point, can a fact continue to be a fact? Or is it like matter? At a certain point, it doesn't matter.
In its reality, it's always a fact. But then over the years, sometimes, like the telephone game, if you say it long enough at the end, it may come out weird. But that's the interesting thing about recorded fact, that we have measurements today, that we can measure facts, but we can't measure the infinite because it's not measurable.
It's immeasurable.
It's immeasurable.
Does that make it any less a fact than if we could measure it? Do you have to have measurements in order to have facts?
I think you do. That's part of the definition of a fact. It's been proven, whether it's by measurement or whatever. It's a proven thing. That's what makes it a fact.
But...
what do you want? You want a question? How can you be a fact if it's not proven? It's the very nature of fact.
But what does it mean to prove something? You see, in science, for example, they do experiments and they have to have a significant revalidating experiments that will come to the same conclusion and able to repeat itself. So that begins to say something about what the facts really are.
What do you mean? I thought you just described it. What is different than what you just said?
Oh, that was me describing it?
I thought you were.
I wondered. Professor Umbridge, was that me? And do you have a comment about that?
Yes, of course, this is Professor Umbridge. And I am so delighted to see facts being reinstated as some level of significance and importance in American culture today, because people often would take facts for granted. Now you can't just take facts for granted. You can't even take news for granted. You've got fake news, and you've got wannabe news, and you've got I wish I were news. And then you have olds, not equally as much as the news. And so we've disposed of the olds. We are just content with the news, but we can't really be sure if that news is factual or if it's made-up news. And, of course, now it's so discombobulated about who's the news and the media the news, and does the president have the right news? Or is his news as up-to-date news as it possibly can be to enable him to make decisions? But no one knows, and no one knows if any of it's actually a fact. Even your existence, is that a fact? Okay, Rochelle, I see you're batting your eyelashes at me or rolling your eyes in your head. I'm not exactly sure which.
It's very hard for me to listen to a fact being questioned.
Hmm.
It's like somebody saying, oh, the Holocaust never happened. And all these witnesses come up, and all this recording comes up, and you realize it's a fact. But to that person who doesn't want to believe it, it's made up.
That brings in the whole issue of witnesses. See, that's a jolly good thing. You see, you have witnesses, not just you have repeated experiments, but you have witnesses, and those who are there who can say that to them it was a fact that you were there on the night of the 14th of October, and you had a hammer and a pistol in your hand, and the person that you were standing before had a dent in his head and a shot in his skull. And you saw it, which makes you a witness.
And the facts that witnesses might give forth are not always accurate, because a witness sometimes can be misproven. The best witness is the witness recorded as it happened and didn't extrapolate on it, didn't make it into a story, but saw it. So it's almost like there aren't that many people that are reliable witnesses. In fact, probably the most reliable witness would be someone with a scientific mind, investigative mind, let's put it that way.
Speaking of investigated minds, I heard about Hayek, an economist today, and I was listening to this Hayek. Am I saying it right? Hayek.
I have no idea.
It almost makes me feel like I need to say, excuse me, Hayek, excuse me. What do you think, Rabbi Hayek?
That is Rabbi Greenberg, the Hayek, and you have the other person. Hayek was like, let the market do it all. Let it take care of itself. Keep the government out of it. It shouldn't be in there at all. It makes it worse than it is. Then you have the other fellow you were talking about, John Maynard Keynes. He says, no, you got to get the government in there. You got to mess with it a little bit. And maybe you'll be able to get to something that will work. And they don't know the answer to this day. They are still wondering what's doing between letting the market have it all and let the market will make itself okay. Or does the government need to get in there and do a little fixing They don't remember that. The time when the government did the most fixing was probably when the Republicans were in there, who don't stand for having government intruding. So you never know whether that's a fact or it's another fact or it's a fact wannabe, as you said before.
I guess I'm very limited in my approach to what a fact is, and I keep coming back to it. And if it goes out of it, then it seems like it's not a fact. That, I think, is a fact.
Well, this was a fact. I'm struggling tonight with getting the music up and playing. It's being very, what can I say, elusive, like some facts. For example, Einstein was looking for the unified field theory that could kind of explain it all, so that what was happening over here in the measurable world and what was happening in the immeasurable world might come together. That's when they came up with quantum mechanics, where a bit of a mystery began to impart itself into the factual world, because things would show up from here over to there without any record of how they got there, and it happened in the same instant. So what do you make of that, Charlie?
Awesome.
Well, this isn't Charlie, but
that's a fact.
If I could make a comment, here is Barney.
We need to change our title.
To what?
To That's a Fact.
Now you got
playing
me thinking you. Around another
that's
place there. Is that a
that's
fact?
That's a fact. Let's find all those facts. I know I feel like I have facts on different levels of my consciousness. In other words, there are facts in my consciousness that are just not disputable. And then in a spiritual world where there are no facts, because there's no boundaries whatsoever in terms of thought, even, at least that's what I believe, or maybe have experienced, I have felt it in some strange way.
Let's get happy about it, or let's at least don't be something that you're not. This is a good way to think about it.
One day my daddy told me about the world of love. He said, don't let anybody tell you you're not good enough. You can taste the juices in the gravy. You can mix the colors in the paint. You can drive the odor crazy, but don't be something you ain't. You can search for fortune and glory. You can read the writings of a saint. You can keep on adding to your story, but don't be something you ain't. Chasing your dreams not as hard as it seems if you follow. That's true. Don't be afraid, 'cause the love that you made will lead you out. You can see the world set in wonder. You can take your daddy on a date. You can move to Paris in the summer, but don't be something you ain't. Believe in your heart. Oh, people flirting till they faint. You can be the source of their desire, but don't be something you ain't. No, 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 no. Don't be something you ain't. Don't be.
Thank you, Aaron. Don't be something you ain't.
God, I loved it.
So, isn't that something?
Oh, I mean, her voice was like a siren. Is it called siren? Siren?
Siren.
Yeah, it's just
when
like...
When the cop car comes down the road,
no,
it's a siren?
No, that voice, you know, like on the Oedipus, I mean, in the Odyssey, the sirens, you know, on this, they made this sound that just drew you into them.
Right, the sirens when the... What was it, Oedipus or somebody like that? And they had them tied to the... pole,
yeah,
and because he would get so sucked into
Greek story.
The Greeks, you know, the Greeks are just they were like great, and
why did they die out?
Let's hear it for the Greeks.
Or did they? Maybe they just evolved into something else.
Well, as a strong dominant culture, they died out. I was listening to someone speak about these ultra empires, and will they go die out? We've been looking at that question. We can't say it's a fact yet because it's yet to be, and so we won't know, as you pointed out, till after the
fact.
But Barney, you were going to say something, and we kind of interrupt you and cut you off. What was that? Oh, thanks, dear. Well, you know, a lot of people like to twist the facts. You know, they kind of justify it because they say, no, I'm just giving the facts a massage. Facts like to have a massage. Don't you like a massage? And I say, I beg to differ. I think that when you think what you're doing is giving a massage, but you're actually twisting the facts into another actual point of view and a little piece of knowledge there, and you're trying to have it pass off, I wouldn't say it's a massage at all. I would say that's a perversion.
Whoa. Yeah. Barney, you're out there today.
Well, I don't like to say that, and I don't like to use that word very often, because when you say you're a pervert, it's a perversion, they'll start thinking, oh, I bet he's a pervert. I'm not a pervert, and I prefer not to be a pervert, and that's a fact. But a perversion of the facts, twisted around, or as I said, tortured, maybe that's even a better word, tortured around to be able to make people do things that they otherwise in their better frame of knowledge wouldn't be doing if they knew that that was a fact or that wasn't a fact.
Barney, you had me. You had me at...
Where do we have it? Barney, thank you. Thank you for illuminating
us. It was
us.
Really hard to go back and remember what he said after he said
Well,
it.
He was talking about perverted facts, and then he got into tortured facts? Is that what you said? Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah, that knocked my things out. The word torture. Oh,
well, that's when you're trying to take all the life out of the facts. You squeeze them down to where there's nothing left because, and what you put in is you pumped it up with delusion. So you replace the fact with delusion and delusionary pretenses.
So that's what an alternative fact is, a delusion.
It's a delusion, but not to the deluded. As a matter of fact, you can pretty well count on the deluded to maintain their delusional attitude. That could even qualify as a fact.
You know, I know we use the word deluded, but it sounds like a put-down. The truth is we're all deluded in some way or another. We can be deluded into not believing facts, which means that we choose to believe something that isn't a fact. And I think that's what makes you deluded.
Well, we choose things because we want to believe them. We're so desperate. Like, it could be argued that certain people during this time made certain decisions with regarding electing certain said individuals who shall remain nameless lest they become a fact. And we don't want it to be a fact. So some of us have deluded ourselves that this said nameless person is not the leader of the free world So that we could, because once we admit
we're it's the free world,
it's a fact.
Only the United States is the free world.
Well, no, he's considered the leader of the free world, as in the world, because he's the top dog and the top empire.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. Is that a fact?
I think that's the fact. I think that the leader of our government, and if people don't look up to that person, it's a very different kind of leader of the free world, because the free world, a lot of the free world is going, you're not my leader.
But look at what's happening. This is so fascinating that by doing these tweets, said unnamed person that we don't want to give a name because then it would be a fact. Mm-hmm. And so from my deluded state, from what I hear, said named person uses tweets to affirm something like a company or somebody. And boy, if he puts you down, your stock go down. I mean, this has taken something to an extreme by putting out these 144 letter or character statements. That person skips the entire media, skips the political system, and is able to manipulate through influence people to where they have to kowtow to his preferences in order to stay safe from his declamatory tweets.
Is that a fact?
Apparently.
But not to other people, it's not a fact. So it's not a fact. It is an alternative fact, just as much as the way anybody else would see this person. The done thing becomes a fact. The fact he was elected, that was done. That's a fact. The fact that he signs executive orders, that's a fact. It's done. Have everyone saw it. The fact that he tweets, that's a fact. But, you know, there's other things that are not really, what is that a fact?
But is a fact actually occurring in the now? Is it a fact, or is it only after a fact, as you pointed out, that we know it's a fact?
To so
you
my don't know. Thinking, yes.
So we don't know that anything that's actually occurring now is a fact.
No, all we know is it's happening.
And that's not necessarily a fact.
It happened.
Uh-huh. Would that be like a happenstance, so that when you're standing?
Only to you.
Well, if you think about understanding is like
okay,
related to
if
stance.
That's the way you want to say
so
stance.
You're under the stand, or you're standing under the knowledge that's showing up forthwith.
You can take things far, far away, which is so exciting. It's like right, you know, like going through a camera, taking you way out. That was really fun. Thank you.
You're welcome. But you know what my wish is? My wish is the same as Rascal Flatts' wish.
Ooh, I hope the days come easy and the moments pass slow. Road leads you where you wanna go. And if you're faced with a choice and you have to choose, I hope you choose the one that means the most to you. And if one door opens to another door closed, I hope you keep on walking till you find the window. If it's cold outside, show the world the warmth of your smile. But more than anything, more than anything, you never forget all the ones who love you in the place you left. I hope you always forgive and you never regret, and you help somebody every chance you get. Oh, you find God's grace in every mistake, and always give more than you take. But more than anything, yeah, more. Stay big, your worries stay.
thank you, Roscoe Flats, for wishing us such good wishes. My wish.
My wish. That was a nice wish. I like that wish.
It's a great wish. So what it brought up for me was, and I would like to hear in just a couple of minutes, if you can wait, Father O'Malley. Oh, sure, and it's there. Take your time there. But I would like to know if the relationship between truth, with a capital T, that would be the first T, by the way. I don't generally capitalize that. There's a fourth T in truth, and it's not given the recognition that it deserves because it's not the capital T. And the capital T is the one that's usually, I digress.
You do.
Is the truth have as equal impact in terms of credibility upon which we can take action and make determinations and even have convictions as the same as a fact? Because some people would say, well, the truth, what's the truth? I mean, that's pretty vague. Whereas a fact is like a fact. And yet, can the truth, and I believe it can, have as much, if not greater, influence in our lives?
That's true, because there are no facts in infinity.
Not anymore.
They never have been.
No, they took them out.
In your mind. I love your mind.
They can't
take them out of your mind. That's when it's not a fact. It's a wonderful fiction.
In my infinity, there were originally a bunch of facts. But then they got all mixed up because they had no frame of reference. Because infinity, there is no duality. There's no up, down, right or left.
So how could there be
anything? The facts were out there swimming and they were so lost. And they were like...
That's a good one. Okay.
They were like bouncing around. They were like atoms that didn't know who they belonged to, so they would attach to other atoms and go, who are you? And the atom says, I don't know who I was, but now I'm helium. And then it went on.
Oh, that's fun. That was funny. Good. I'm not glad you won't go on and on and on like that because it was just perfect.
Okay. See, Rochelle, I know, is an instant evaluator of the...
I am. It's like I feel like a conductor sometimes because things have such a lovely rhythm to them. And yeah, when Errol projects that, I find it very beautiful.
Speaking of very beautiful, I don't know if this is beautiful, but I shared that piece that I wrote about the electron dialogue. And this is a piece I wrote around the same time. It's called The Subtle Impressions of God Today. Let me just say that if you ask me, does God exist as a fact? When I step into the truth of my being, I say an equivocal fact, which is a poor relation to alternative facts, equivocal facts, as opposed to unequivocal facts. And they are like first cousins.
Because a belief is not a fact. And it's like, if we want to make facts like so wonderful that we all should be facts or that we all shouldn't be facts, it's not relative. It's just is what it is.
But are your relatives facts?
I think my relatives were very facts.
Sometimes you wish they weren't so factual.
But we are too.
We are that. Okay, this is Subtle Impressions of God Today. The subtle impressions of God today as he dripped down the side of a coffee cup and caught a wisp of hair in his sleeve. She shuffled along a sidewalk, did she, God, whispering to tall, lanky girls and squeezed between two pebbles that were lying naked on the pavement. God never failed once to take notice of holes in the bottom of footsteps. And she guarded each swallow with a tender stroke of saliva. He slid down a hillside and chewed up some tobacco, waiting for the bus to Winona, Mississippi, where he put a quarter in a slot to see himself on television. She got caught between two pages of a new book and found herself hitchhiking with a falling leaf. The new door in a subdivision in Kansas bumped into God, who jumped out of the way in time to fall into the vat of molten steel. And at the last recorded moment, God was captured on this page as he flew along beside two electrons when they began to press the key of capital G.
Wow. I like that poem. That's really nice.
Haven't read that in a long time.
It's like the potency of God, you know? I mean, it's just the realization that it's not one man living in a large hut with a steeple on a cloud.
How is it that? That's not a fact.
I know.
It's a perception.
I think that's very funny.
What was funny?
But what was funny?
The thing that you just said, was that as funny? When you say is something funny, is it a fact that it's funny, or is it just a feeling that it's funny? Is funny a feeling, or is funny a fact, feeling funny?
Oh, little boy, you asked so many questions. I think that's true. Yeah, well, all of those things.
This is why it's important. It's vital. It's actually the center of my life in the midst of all this craziness and silliness and speculation and what's factual and what isn't and what motivates us and what doesn't motivate us, to just cultivate stillness. That was Solange. Stillness is the move. I like saying it. It makes me feel like I'm French.
She's beautiful.
Solange, très bien, Solange.
I thought she was from another country other than France.
I don't know, but I feel French when I say Solange.
That's a great title.
So the question is stillness the move? See, there's the great paradox of life. Stillness and movement, motion and stillness. It's like spirit is the stillness. It's the quiescence out of which all movement takes place and becomes discrete little phenomena. If we can measure them and repeatedly measure them and point to them, we regard as facts. And what they have going for them, these facts, is that they perpetuate through the stillness in an ongoing nature, delusion or illusion or alternative slash not facts just kind of dissipate. And the thing about the facts is that they reveal to us a relatively eternal component. Because, as we said earlier, what makes them facts is the fact that they seem to persevere long enough to where we can say, after the fact, that indeed, that was a fact.
Well, what I love is that you take your perception. I see this, and I don't know that it's a fact, but it's my perception that you take something and you play with it, which is beautiful, which is fun. You know, you throw somebody a ball and they play with it and they turn it into a pea and they turn it into a long stretched out salami.
But do they turn it into a fact? I don't think so.
No, they don't. We say this, but is the thoughts that come from our heads as much a fact as the material objects we create out of those thoughts? That's the question.
Is the material object, is it the thought that you have in your head? This is Father O'Malley. There's the thought that you have in your head. Is it much of a fact as the thing that you're describing, that you're using the word that stands for what the fact is, to put on top of it so that you know what to look for and to call it when you're there looking for it the next time you need it?
Okay. This is when one should record and then play it back slowly.
Well, I have to play it back in my own mind here now. There's the thought that you have in your head. This is much of a fact as the thing that you're describing, that you're using the word that stands for what the fact is, to put on top of it so that you know what to look for and to call it when you're there looking for it the next time you need it. What I'm saying is that there's, you have something there happening there, and it's like a phenomenon. And it may be apparently a static phenomenon. For example, is a rock a static phenomenon? And one could say, well, that's a fact. It's static. Really, from a deeper perspective, all it is movement. So it's not static at all. It's just one giant bunch of movement that's going on there. And yet, you don't see that as a fact. You see that.
I think it's because it's so fast. The movement is so fast so that our mortal eyes, it's impossible to see, so it feels solid.
So that would lead me to believe and possibly suggest there that anything we regard as a fact is only a fact for so long. At a certain point, it won't be a fact anymore. It will have dissipated into this vast, unfactual universe that continues to exist in paradox, because while it shows up as a fact, it can show up as an alternate fact, because it exists in an alternate universe.
It's very possible that that might be a fact.
You never know. But you know what Chubby Checker says? He says it's all about changes.
I've been running wild through my life. I never knew which way the wind was blowing. Somehow, some way, darkness led me to your light. 'Cause night after night I was making a scene, broken and empty, I'd shadowed my dreams. There'll be some changes, they're long overdue. There'll be some changes, oh, what I need to do. There'll be some changes, some changes. Lord, I'm begging you, please. I can't stand the pain. I'm down on my knees. There'll be some changes.
Forget about the past. There's Chubby Checker. There are going to be some changes.
I love it. I wrote this thing while I was singing that. In the stillness of the universe, I believe that change is a fact of material existence.
Well, what came to me was this whole notion of change that we're coming upon, and you have to allow facts to transmute, just like evolution enables things transmute. In other words, if a fact equals exist, for example, well then 99% of the species that were here are no longer facts, and we can only assume that they were factually.
They're starting to excavate their bones, and that which was a theory has become a fact.
Well, no, all you can do is make certain deductions based upon it.
So it's not, maybe it's not a fact. According to the definition of fact, it's not a fact. It hasn't been proven, it hasn't been witnessed. It's not a fact. It's just a theory that these big animals were here doing all this stuff and they evolved to these little animals. Why didn't they go the other way around?
Well, they may have. See, we don't know because we were the one that went this way. But there may be a whole other direction of evolution that went in an alternative way. And that's where those people go to get their alternative facts. They go to another companion universe that evolution has set up just over there, slightly to the east of this universe. There's another universe that's south of our universe, by the way. They've replaced facts with an entirely different phenomenon. It's almost impossible to behold because it's like if you went inside a fact and you took it apart so that parts of the fact were like all over the place and then you had to reassemble that into a fact, you'd be nuts too. That's why we don't go to that universe, because they're nuts. Busy trying to reassemble facts when they had no business taking them apart in the first place. Anyway, that was just what occurred to me.
I'm glad they didn't. I don't know what's occurring to you. Just because we say something happened doesn't make it a fact. It has to be proven. What we perceive can get in the way of the facts.
Okay, so here's a couple of facts that are important. Our show, Inside Out, The Naked Truth, is being sponsored by our good friend Jeremy Bede and by those amazing people at Go Raw who are making nutritional, delicious food that's about as close to the fact that this stuff is good and good for you as you're going to get in terms of something you can put into your mouth and take into your gastrointestinal system.
Is that a fact?
I don't know. I don't know if it's a fact. But
we have been dissecting the fact find out exactly what is this fact. Is this a fact?
I'm asking the listener to consider looking at this issue. To what extent is your life, your choices, your beliefs, attitudes, and perceptions based upon assumptions about what is a fact? And to what extent do you make decisions based upon a gut feeling, for example? And which has served you better?
I bet it would be quite divided. I think most people go for the gut feeling.
Well, come back. Let us know. estrider@gmail.com.
Yeah, prove me wrong.
Yeah, prove her wrong.
He'd love to have me
check
prove
out.
Wrong.
I love it when I can prove her show wrong, almost as much as when I catch myself being wrong, because when I catch myself, I get way more growth out of it. Her, I can't depend on. She may or may not grow from it.
Well, in certain ways, I know I won't grow from it. But in other ways, I think I really will grow from it.
But we kind of have to wrap up tonight, Rochelle. We want to thank you all for being with us. And that's a fact. It's a feeling that has evolved to a fact. But what do people need to remember, Rochelle?
They need to remember that resistance is what you add to pain to make it last longer and hurt more.
Is that a fact?
As far as I know.